he's so good.
And this world fish be gone because she thinks to come back.
I believe it.
That is in the part that is in the Bible about them trying to get, they already got missiles pointed at Israel, wanting Israel bad. God says in the Bible that's going to happen. It's happening.
Well, I just want you to know something. Before one of them missiles go off, we leaving, sis.
Oh, baby,
the rest of y'all can stay here. Honey, don't play. I'm going. And that is the sweetest day for me. I don't have to worry about Israel. God's already claimed victory for them. That's right. Yeah, it's a temporary home. That's what he keeps telling me. Even the birds just nest and leave them. You know, even the birds just nest and leave them. And I'm like, why do I care what my nest looks like? But I do. Anyway, maybe I'll get over that, you guys. We're going to be in John, 1 John chapter 3. And I think it's like, is it 863 or something like that in your pew Bible? Ooh, I'm good at it. 863, if you want to follow along in your pew Bible. And anybody in here want to just tell me, did you ever just know something? Like, you just prayed about something, or you got up one day and you were going to do something, or somebody talked to you. I don't have any more. I'm sorry. And then you just felt like you just knew you should do something. Anybody have an example you want to share, Bella? Oh, your hand went up. I don't even know what to say now. June, go ahead.
Me and my husband, we did some yard work, garage work, and we got four brand new tires, you know. Well, they was used because we used them to get our car inspected. And I kept rolling them out there in front of them. And James says, well, honey, it's been a week. And I said, well, we're going to sell these tires. We're going to drop it down to 80, though, from 100. Brand new tires. And we took them out.
We have been educated tonight. June, we don't ever miss a beat with you, girl. You got to listen for the hidden meaning. But you bless them and you both. Anybody else, you just knew something, like you just knew it and you did it? Anybody else? How about this one? How about any of you know when you were thinking you were going to do something and something said, don't do it? Anybody have one of those? You just anybody want to share that? Anybody want to share an example? Cindy.
One of the times when we were going to Sturgis for a motorcycle rally, there was a thunderstorm and raining, and the lightning was going across the sky. And my husband woke up and he said, well, if it's just going to lightning, I wish it would just go ahead and rain. Well, it just dumped. And I said, you need to find a place for me to pull over because I cannot see. So we pulled over and we sat there for about an hour. We got back on the road, and when we got on the interstate, they had it completely shut down because a tornado had gone through. And had I kept going, I would have been.
Oh, man, amen.
That's yeah, wonderful. Yeah. I'll tell one on Tiffany. She was just driving out with the sergeant when she was first still in a police academy. And they were, you know, starting to drive out and stuff. And she had to do the driving, you know, because they're watching them and whatever. And she said that they went through this. She worked the projects. And she said they'd gone through this area and there was a playground. It was about 11 at night. And they drove through it. And he's like, okay, let's leave. We've done the drive through. Let's go. And she said she got to the front of the subdivision and something said to her, go back and do it one more time. And she said, I'm thinking, oh, you know, I want to make a good impression. I don't want him to think. But she knew that was the voice of God. So she said, she just turned the car around. She said, I just want to make one more lap. And she said, as she turned her car around, it came over the radio that from that subdivision that there was a little girl in a pink coat who was lost. And she said we turned around and went back by the playground, and there she was, 11 o'clock at night, little girl in a pink coat. And she said, she said, the look on his face. But listen, I'm telling you, those are things where God wants people to know, my spirit is real. And there may be times where somebody will say, let's do this. And, you know, normally you wouldn't, okay, let's do it. But there's sometimes when you just know, ooh, don't do it. Don't do this. So that knower, according to 1 John 3:23, and you know, I'm really enjoying this, the Passion Translation. It's T90 up there, but I'll try to read it to you. So these are his commands, that we continually place our trust in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and that we keep loving one another just as he has commanded us. You know, there's good things and there's bad things, but every time the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us something, every time you can count on it being a good thing. And even when you miss it, have you ever like, you just heard the Lord say, I want you to do this, and you didn't do it, and then you leave and you got all this, oh, what's wrong? You know, does he quit using you?
No.
No, the next time he'll still use you, but the next time we're like, boom, I'm not going to make that mistake. So I'm going to read to you, it is page 863 if you want to follow along with me. We're just going to read verses 1 through 20. How great is the love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Now, y'all, that said lavished, but I'm so used to the King James, I read it. King James, just forgive me. And this is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it didn't know him. Dear friends, now we're children of God. Remember from last week? I'm a child of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who loves him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, he just wants us to get this. It's not you stupid idiots. It's dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue in sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. This is the message you've heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. Let me just stop there and say, Cain had murdered him first in his thoughts, then he murdered him with his words, and then he murdered his body. And I want to tell you, every action, the seed of that action is going to start with your mind, and your heart is either going to be in agreement with our minds or with the Word of God, and it's always going to be wrapped in love and peace. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous, jealous. Do not be surprised, my brother, if the world hates you. We know that we pass from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. So I'm going to stop right there and I'm just going to ask you, you know, how did John know these things? What did he know that we can say are facts that John knew? It's a little bitty up there, but maybe you can read it. He knew that love was a man. He knew that because he ate with him. They slept out together. He heard him laugh. He heard him weep. He knew he was a man. And he knew that love was Jesus, a definition he had never heard, let alone seen, lived out. Because what he knew were the high priests who were the big deal, and everybody else was just little, you know, peons. And he knew that love makes a way for life. He knew that nothing could separate us from love. Remember the knots last week? Not. There's not. Not. Nothing's going to separate us. He knew that love never fails. He knew that love is not convenient. He knew that love was painful. That's not up there, but just let me go ahead and tell you about that. The way you hurt sometimes is proof that you love. When you're disappointed in someone, a spouse or a child or just a friend, when you get disappointed, guys, that's just proof that you love. Because if you didn't love, you wouldn't care. But love is also passionate. And whether it's passionate to believe and hope and endure, or whether it's passionate to be angry and upset, love's going to be passionate. And you heard them when they're in court say it was a crime of passion because they got so enraged over something. And love always believes the best about God. And if he's in me, then I should be believing the best about me, because he said even if your heart condemns you, God's bigger than your heart. God's never going to be an accuser. John's already told us chapters 1 and 2 were about light. He's already told us that in him there is no darkness at all. There's nothing negative. There's nothing that he's looking out for. And people say, oh, you know, you're going to, you know, beat that grace thing again. Grace is not about me. Grace is about him. Okay? Grace doesn't condone sin. Grace forgives sin. Are you with me? And grace is making the provision for sin because we're going to blow it. Now, I don't want to. I don't want to. Can anybody in here be honest and say, you know, there's things I don't want the rest of you to know about me either? Yeah, thank you. Because even if they're never said, we're thinking them, right? So we have to stay in tune with him. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was, and the Word became flesh. Yes, it does. Genesis 1:26, so the beginning chapter, you know that in Genesis 1:26, God says, let us make man in our image. He was there from the beginning. Jesus is God. They're a part of each other, okay? And when he says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, it says, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. He was full of grace and truth. Let me ask you, do you think that's a fluke that grace comes before truth in that? And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I'm telling y'all, I'm having power surges in these mics. I know that's what it is. They've been teasing me, but I just heard me get louder. I'm like, power surge. Okay, never mind. It was between us. But yes, I don't think it's a fluke. I don't think it's a coincidence, because I believe grace has to be given with truth. Guys, I've said this so many times, but it's so imperative that you hear me. We are not sent here to set people straight. We are here to set people free. Has anybody, really, I'm serious, raise your hand. Has anybody in here, everybody had somebody who's a Christian just try to set you straight? Because, dear Lord, I sure have. Well, you know, if you did. Well, I don't thrive under that. I can't. I had a boss one time, and, you know, we had these meetings, and you had to say one thing that was wrong and three things that were right, you know, in these meetings. So I was like, here we go. So I go into the meeting, and people been going in and out, and I'm his assistant. So everybody's been coming in and out all day, you know, and so I'm like, okay, here we go. What did I do? You just get it over with. So I go in there, and he's like, he has a bulletin and this little letter. And he says, you see this letter? There's a period there, and it should be a comma. I was like, okay. And then he goes, now you do this, this, and this. And I was like, is that really the thing you find wrong in me? And he said, I just want you to know, I'm trying to figure something out that's wrong with you. And he goes, and this just came to me today, so I just decided I'd point it out. And I just started crying. I was like, do you know how much harder I would work for you if I came in here and you said, you know what, you're just doing a great job. Let's skip that one. I just want you to know, I think you're doing a great job. I said, I work a whole lot better on praise than I do criticism. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
And that's, I think, the thing that we're missing. People they feel that, you know, it's not my responsibility, guys. It's not going to be my responsibility, people's choices, after I present the gospel, after I've lived my life. I'm not going to be responsible if they don't choose the Lord. I can't carry that. But I am going to be responsible to try to represent Him and show who He is. And if I get it wrong, I think it's better when I can go back and say, I got this wrong. I want you to forgive me. That's not who He is. I think that's even twice the blessing, because I overcome the flesh to get back in the Spirit and give people hope that they can do it too. But I want you to hear me. This scripture is plainly, He's coming in here and He's telling us some things about, you know, it's going to take love. And loving the Lord, I'm just going to sum up this part we've just read. Loving the Lord is going to make you miserable with sin. But loving sin is going to make you miserable with the Lord. And that's not a judgment. Listen, however people want to play it out, I'm not here to judge who's good and who's bad. And if you're with somebody who loves to judge, I want to tell you it's toxic and you better get away from it. Because He comes with grace and truth, and He's my judge. Oh, but it says, you know, you should know them. You're going to know them by their fruits. I know them by their fruits. But that doesn't mean that it's my place to put them in heaven or hell. Judgment, guys, is a serious thing, and don't get caught up in it. Because before you know it, judgment will be condoning what you do, because you'll be looking to other people for your standard instead of looking to Him. I want to read this from Charles Spurgeon. It's just a couple of paragraphs, but I thought it was so good. And it's from a message he gave. And basically, he's talking about 1 John 3:10 and 1 John 2:21 that says, I've not written you now. I've written you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is in the truth. We know the truth, and the truth is what's going to set us free. I just thought this was so good. Says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he, Jesus, is righteous. And this is what Spurgeon says. That is the sign of it. Works are the fruits of grace. He is righteous, not in himself, for mark how grace comes in here. He is righteous, even as he is righteous. It will not allow our righteousness to be our own, but our righteousness belongs to Christ again. He that doth righteousness is righteous, not according to our works, but even as he is righteous. Good works prove that I have perfect righteousness in Christ, but they do not help the righteousness of Christ, nor in any way make me righteous. Good works are of no use whatever in the matter of justification. The only use they are is that they are for our comfort, for the benefit of others, and for the glory of God. Let me read that again. Good works are of no use whatever in the matter of justification. Their only use is that they are for our comfort, for the benefit of others, and for the glory of God. It were well if we always remembered that practical godliness is the soul of godliness. That is, I'm not talking religion, but walking religion, which proves a man to be sincere. It's not having a religious tongue, but a religious heart. It's not a religious mouth, but a religious foot. Isn't that good? It's not just what you say, it's what you put in action to. The best evidence is the salvation of the soul. And then he says, avant. Well, I know French, and that means just, you know, keep away, stay back. He says, avaunt, talkative, go thy way, thou mere professing formalist. Your ways lead down to hell, and your end shall be destruction. For he that doeth righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Not destroy the sinner, but the works of the devil. And I do not want in this house, in this community, in your home, and certainly not in the body of Christ, I do not want disunity. And you know what a formalist is when he says, avaunt, stay away, you formalist? It's a person who adheres excessively to prescribed forms. Dude, you can't put him in a mold. You can't have a form, well, this, and this. You can't do that because there are variables, right? Anybody with me? So how would you like it if you've had a terrible day and at the end of the terrible, horrible day, you get ready to come to church and the first person in the door snaps your head off, right? And you're like, look, I want to tell you something. You call yourself a Christian. Well, I'm going to help you out. And you just light into them, right? Okay? So then you go home and you're like, set them straight. Done with that. So the next time the doors are open, you come in and everybody's standing at the door staring at you. Yeah, you. What's wrong with you? You go, guys, I just had a bad week. I'm over it. I'm done. I'm right? Sometimes there are extenuating circumstances that you and I don't know about. But I'm going to tell you something. If we know people after the Spirit of God, we'll get judging their character and we'll put on the character of God, not worry about who they are, but who am I? Okay? Selah. We're done with that. Okay. So now we're going to move. I've got to turn the page. And I want to tell you something about mystic religions and stuff, okay? I always like to bring in things that are going around and whatever. Okay, I've always heard this, you know, there's going to be a nirvana. There's going to be this place. It's not heaven. We're going to call it nirvana. And it's in Eastern mysticism. And it's where all personalities are going to dissolve into God, just like a drop in the ocean. You know, whoever you are, we're just going to dissolve into one big thing, okay? We're still going to be ourselves. When I get to heaven, I'm still going to be me. But now, I'm going to have the character and the nature that's going to be perfected in the image of God. Why? Because I'm not going to have evil. There's going to be no darkness. So I can be like Him without these temptations and without sorrows and without heartache and tribulation that push me in line with the enemy if my mind is not stayed on Him. We're not going to be clones of Jesus in heaven. We're going to reign and rule with Him, and we have talents and giftings and things that are in you, Miss Linda, that are not in me. And He needs you to do certain things because nobody else in this room is qualified but you because of the things you've gone through. We got to be real with who we are with Him. We're not trying to reform. There's people that want you to reform. We call that behavior modification. What's every prison thing? You're going to be reformed. It's behavior modification. You know, they call it the jail Jesus. Because once you get out, you're going to do what you want, right? Yeah. You're going to toe the line in there because they've modified for you where evil can't get into you, which it can get in anywhere, but because they've modified certain things. Just on a side note, let me just tell you, it's kind of funny what people do, but I had someone tell me that they were going to the jail and that someone who was in the jail said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take these drugs and chew them up, and then I want you to line the inside of your eyeglasses with this paste, and then when you visit me, I'll scrape it off and then I can have a fix. If the world is going to always come up with something to get what they want, but I will always want Him enough to lay down what I want for what He wants. God is not about reformation. God is about transformation, to change my thinking, to change my attitude. If I change my thinking, I'm going to change my attitude, and you're going to be glad, because I'm going to tell you, you don't want me to set you straight, to modify, to reform. You want me to set you free so you can be who you really want to be. You want me to set you free from judgment. You want me to set you free from the molds that the world has said. Isn't it amazing how the world, you know, if you're Christians, automatically you're a hater. They put you in the mold. Why? Because you're in disagreement with what they want. You don't even have to, you don't even have to say a word. You could be so precious and sweet, but they're going to hate the fact that your religion is not just in your mouth, but it's in your feet. They're going to hate the fact that your religion is not just talk, but it's spirit. That's why you got to keep your eyes focused on Him and not the world. Reconciliation. Reconciliation always comes by death. Guys, Cindy's nodding her head. I just talked to the staff about this today. Reconciliation always comes by death. How did He reconcile us to the Father? He gave His life. He was killed. And then He rose again. He suffered for us. Let's just be honest. Angela and I have a fight. She's right and I'm right. She looks scared now. I'm scary. Angela, tell everybody how scary I am. Ooh, scary. Well, act scared anyway. We had a big old fight, okay? So we come back together the next day, and I'm right and she's right. We both know we're right, okay? Now, the truth is, we both love the Lord, okay? But when I said, Angela, this would be funny. If I said, we're going to go to ladies' retreat, and you can go 3 miles over the speed limit, right? And then she goes 7 miles over because she thinks 7 miles is safe, and I think 3 miles is safe, and she gets stopped, and she's mad at me because I didn't push the 3, and she went with the 7. Do you see what I'm saying? It's so trivial. But how many things like that have just broken up beautiful friendships and break up homes? Guys, when we peeled back all the layers of what was wrong with the couple one time, it came down to the fact that he was putting ketchup on steak. And I'm not kidding. She said, we can't afford steak. I went out of my way to buy the steak. I cooked the steak. I had steak sauce. And he got ketchup and put all over that steak. And just that just said he didn't care about me or what I'd sacrificed. And this venom was coming out. We're like, and he's like, you never told me. And she's like, well, it's just typical. Right? So what has to happen? Somebody has to die to being right. Somebody has to die to the fact that you have treated me. Please listen. Do not sin. Listen. When people have wronged you, and I don't care if it's a period of time, you have got to forgive people when they say they want to be forgiven. It's up to me to die to that injustice. Well, I just know it's coming again. Why should I forgive them? You should forgive them because God forgave you. He's faithful as we are faithful. He says in Matthew, if you withhold from others and don't forgive, I can't forgive you. Why? Because light will not dwell with darkness. So think of it this way. I'm not giving them another chance. I'm giving God another opportunity. Think of it. Something has to die. Your knowledge, your right, your finances, your... It's always an angst, isn't it? It's always like, yeah. Unless it's passive-aggressive. And then it's like, okay. Really? That's interesting. And then when they say, well, you're being mean, you're withholding. Did I not fix your supper? Did I not wash your laundry? You guys ought to be all over me right now. Did I not blah, 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 blah? Then what's your problem? Yeah. Right? You with me? Being mean doesn't have to just be an action. It can be withholding affection. So in 1 John 3:23, he says, "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment." So what is the commandment? What is a commandment?
To love one another.
But what is it? What does a commandment mean? Is that a is a commandment a suggestion?
No, it's an order.
It's an order. Put the hammer down. Annette Lathe put the hammer down on that one. Yes. So what is a what is it not? It's not a suggestion.
Nope.
It's not a option. Good, yeah. It's not like, oh, this is open. Let's discuss this, right? So that's what every cop will tell you. I've read this in an article. Like the top three things people say when they get stopped are, I was just going with the flow of the traffic, right? That guy was going faster than me, or I didn't see the sign, right? Because it's always got to be deflected. Well, I'm just going with the flow. Guess what? This isn't a suggestion. And if I was a cop, I'd say to him, well, let me see your driver's license. Yep, you must have passed the test. You have to know that information. Here you go. There you go. So here's the thing. Why is it important that we know that this is a commandment?
What? Say it again.
Why is it important that we know that this scripture is a commandment? It says, and this is his commandment.
So we can be obedient and trust him in all.
Trust him. Uh-huh. That's good, June. All he said is just to believe on Jesus and to love one another. You just two things. Is that hard?
Uh-uh.
Get in there and clean your room and do it with a smiley face. Is that hard? If your attitude's not right, it is. Right, Dean? You must have cleaned your room. He's like praising God right there. Believe on Jesus and love each other. John, guys, get this. Here's John. He watched Jesus suffer and die. And he was the only one. And remember when Steve just taught this and he said, hey, John, that's now your mother. Mom, that's your son. Okay, so he was making, okay, but get what John didn't do. This is why I can listen to John and believe that you can do it, okay? Because of all the passion, of all the love for Jesus, of all the belovedness and the oneness and the he's my best friend, because of all that, John could not hate Judas because Jesus didn't. John could not reprimand Peter when he saw him because Jesus didn't when he walked into the room. And John did not break fellowship with Thomas because he was a doubter. Well, we don't want that kind of a spirit up in here. Let's just check him off the list. He couldn't do any of those things because of the love he had for the Father and the love that he saw that the Father had for him. Is there anybody in this room who has never experienced the love of God? Anybody? Because I have experienced his mercy, Becca. Undeserved. He withheld from me. Oh, he withheld from me. In our early marriage, dear God, it's a miracle we made it this far. We should have fireworks every year for people who make it in marriage. Oh, Jesus, I got some witness. That's the biggest witness I got all night. But I'm just saying, I'm serious about it. When you recognize what God has done, because two people, I didn't just make that commitment to Steve. I made that commitment to God. I want you to understand me. If you can't stick with somebody because of them, do it for him. That's what he's saying. If you believe me, stick this out, because nothing you do is just going to affect you. Keep going, Gabe. And don't take on people's issues of injustice, guys. It's toxic. Well, I feel so cheated. And they can do it this way. I feel so cheated. I've been so faithful, and, you know, I just wanted a little respect, and I didn't get it. I'm really hurt. Can you help somebody with that? I'm asking you seriously. Can you, by your agreement with somebody that they're hurt and they have the right to be hurt, are you bringing them to life or death? Tell me. Why death? Because you're not taking them to Jesus. Because if I go to Jesus, he's going to tell me, you need to straighten up. You serve me, not that person. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Gay, who are your eyes on? Where is your hope coming from? Where is your focus? Where is your belief? Where is your... And don't say, well, you know, I hold you to a higher standard, Gay, than I hold me. Because when you get to heaven, it ain't going to be, I was just going with the flow of traffic. It ain't going to be, well, you know, that's what Gay did. No, no. It's going to be you. There is nobody, Leslie, there is nobody that he loves more than you. And there's nobody he loves less than you. And there is nobody that he loves more than me. And there's nobody he loves less than me, because he loves us enough that he died for every one of us. And I believe with all my heart that in John 17, when Jesus said, Father, not for this generation, but for those to come, that included you and me in that guarantee. But boy, you want to get... Is it so amazing how we can let somebody else's offense rile us up? Oh, you won't believe what happened. And you're in the break room and somebody comes in and says, oh, did you see the way she looked at me today? What? Oh, girl, you're the one who loaned me $5 last week. And you don't say that, but you're like, oh, you're a true friend. Who does she think she is? And before you know it, nobody's focused on God and everybody's focused on darkness. And we breed darkness, because he said that's why sin can't be there, is because his seed is in you. And when we water the seed, it will produce life. One of Eli's favorite stories is when I tell him stories about, you know, his dad and his sisters when they were little. He loves to hear these stories because he knows they're human, right? Because he thinks everybody's perfect that's older. So I told him one time about Leah. And I said, when your Aunt Leah was little, I said, I had some pinto beans soaking in water. And she went in, she took that bean and she shoved it up her nose. And I said, nobody knew about it. And I said, about 2 or 3 weeks later, she was like, oh, my head hurts. It's still funny. Watching Eli's face, he is just rocking with laughter. And I said, you know, I couldn't see anything. I'm like a flashlight. So I was like, man, she was hurting. I was watering and turned red. So I took her to the doctor. And they took these little things they call alligator clips. You probably all seen. And he pulls out this bean that has sprouted. Right? Yeah. Like it's got a little leaf and another leaf, and it was just pressing on her sinus. And it didn't cause any problems, listen, until it came to life. It just sat there and just absorbed her life-giving force, until it now was damaging. And that's the only way we knew, was because it caused pain. I believe that's why God allows pain, is so we can recognize when we're being damaged. He said all you have to do is just believe and love one another. It sounds so simple. But how do I give life to something? How do I give life to these things? When somebody tells me something negative, how do I give life to it? If his seed is in me, how can that dwell in me too? Because I give it my breath. I give it my words. I give it my agreement. I water it with my emotions, whether happy or sad. And I come in there, and I don't just give it that, but I give it life. We get intimate. We become one when I get in unity with that thing, and it becomes alive. So don't take on any toxic issues. God is light, and he's love, and this applies to every one of us. Now let's look at John 3:24. He says, we know and have proof that he constantly lives and flourishes in us. How do I know? How do you know? How do we know that he abides in us? How do we know?
Because of the Spirit God had gave us.
That's right. But how do I know you got the Spirit of God? You don't walk around when you get saved. They don't stamp you.
No.
Spirit of God. Spirit of God.
You can tell how they act. You can tell how much love they got in them.
Say something else, someone. I heard it. The Spirit. Yes. Love for one another. Ding, 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 ding. Because God is... How will we know that you're children, he says? How will they know that you're my children? By the love you have for one another. Not by the tolerance, not for the instruction. Guys, I want you to hear me with a whole heart. Your home, your workplace, Christian Center, Haltom City, and the world can never be unified until somebody dies to their ideas and opinions of what is right and wrong and get in agreement with the Word of God. It's that simple. He said the Holy Spirit is a gift. He says that he constantly lives and flourishes in us by the Spirit that has given us. He's given it to us. If he gave it to us, does that mean that it's that now it's a reward? It's a gift. It wasn't a reward. It wasn't a medal of honor for putting up with everybody else. It wasn't a name or a position because you know more than everybody else. It's a gift. It's a gift. I want to tell you the truth. I've had little children say things to me that were so life-giving, and I never could have thought of it. We need to get over ourselves and get to Jesus. John 3:30 said, so it's necessary for him to increase and for me to diminish. And I got this little sign up there for you. He is greater than I am. If you'll flip to the next one, Jeremy. Can you see that? He is greater than I. He's greater than me. He's greater than you. He's greater than we. We can all be in here tonight and get an agreement about somebody we don't like in this church. That don't make us right. It makes us deceived because he always operates in love. So three things I want to point out real quick. So it's necessary for him to increase and for me to diminish. We are the increase of Christ as his counterpart. Just as Eve was the increase of Adam, the bride is the increase, the completer, the helper on earth. He wants our weaknesses and insecurity to complete him because that's how his work is made perfect, is through my imperfections, not what I get perfect. I see so many people trying to be right and be perfect. Guys, we should feel sorry for them because they really don't believe they're loved just as they are. And they mirror that off on you. Because they really believe that somewhere God has a limit. And I want to tell you, I praise God, he does not have a limit. Because if he did, this girl would have already tried it. Okay, you know, whatever. Look, I'm being honest with you. Didn't I tell you Sunday I bought a lottery ticket and I'm burning in hell forever? Okay, y'all need to get with it. He's the completer, the helper. We are to him what he says. No wonder he calls us the bride, because he says that the wife is the crown. She's the glory of the husband. But somewhere we get this, well, that's what you did for me. What did you do for me? What did you do for me? Does Jesus do that to you, really? Really? No, he doesn't. We need to stop that. That's not the seed of life. That's the seed of death. He is destined to become greater, and I need to be pruned. That's what he's saying in this. I must decrease. He's not saying I'm going to cut you down to size. He's saying, just think a little more about what I think than what you think. You go to a doctor. This beats all I've ever seen. You go to a doctor, And then you pay the doctor all this money, and you believe everything he said. But if Jesus told you, you're going to think about it and check it out on, you know, WebMD. Right? We act like it's just, oh, well, you know, if it's God, let's just debate it. Guys, God is for you. He's not against you. The third thing, this is necessary. When he says it's necessary for him to increase, necessary means it's basic, it's essential, it's crucial, it's vital, it's indispensable, it's necessary. It's not optional. It's critical. It's necessary. I want to get this to you because these aren't, you know, the suggestions. It's the commandment. You have to believe and you have to love one another. And the word says, especially those that are in the household of the faith. That means I got to give you, you're like, dude, I should have never brought my husband because now I'm going to have, he's in the church, not just in the house. Now I got to be nice to him. No. We do that because we love him because we recognize how he loved us. You cannot be unified in love and life unless anyone else is unified with God. And the way we're unified with God is that we believe the fact that Jesus died for our sins and he rose again, and I operate under his death, burial, and resurrection so that I can put to death the things that are killing me in this life. That's when I'm going to have unity. So what's the big deal about sin? Don't kid yourself. Sin separates from God. I am not talking about mistakes. I'm not talking about when you're tempted beyond what you can bear. I'm not talking about, even though the word says he'll make a way of escape. Is there anybody in here every time you're tempted, you never fail? Thank you, honest crowd. All of us do. Grace is not giving the license to sin. It is not condoning sin. It is overcoming the power of sin once we fail. Because the sooner I get back in agreement with God, the better off I am. Don't y'all be telling me, well, I don't have any of these problems you're talking about, because we're going to have a meeting, okay? We'll have a meet and greet with your family. We'll figure this out, okay? Everybody's like, oh, Jesus, I did it. Don't I have a meeting? Oh, here's the thing. How do you know when you're at peace with God? How do you know it?
You can feel it in your heart. You can feel it in your soul. And you shine. You glow. You just feel great.
Yes, complete. Peace. Yeah, because your passions aren't caught up in the dark things, and so you can be released. When I'm passionate about him, you can't get a rise out of me. You can't make me, you know. And boy, believe me, every spouse in here ought to say, there's a time where the other one tried to get a rise out of him just because they wanted to feel good about being bad, right? We do it with girlfriends. We do it with brothers and sisters. You want somebody to agree with you because you want to feel better about you. But that's not where my victory is. Here's where my victory is. Each one of you have the Spirit of God in you. That's how you know. You know. Because the Spirit of God lives in you. If we can't be unified with anyone until we're unified with God, and that's only going to come when it's in his light and his love. And that's the road John took. People tried to kill him. He was hungry. He was beat. He was boiled in oil. He was put on an island by himself. And he still sought Jesus. Because Jesus never showed him how to be angry and bitter and hateful. And he followed those examples. And he knew, my Savior's going to provide for me. And he's wanting you and I to come to that same term. And instead of just letting people be angry and bitter, why don't we try to set them free and say, that anger, that angst, that hurt is not going to help you. I just want to put my hand over your heart that's hurt and pray for you. I want you to have the peace of God. I want you to be as passionate about His love for you as you are about your anger towards someone else. Are you with me? Just stand with me tonight. Guys, I want us to go where He wants us to go. And I believe we're going there. And I'm just warning you tonight, in your home, in your job, in your community, in Christian Center, in any other church, the enemy will do anything he can to cause division because he wants to snuff out the love of God, number one, between you and God, and number two, between you and anybody else where there's unity, because the light cannot stay. If you shut out the light, it's just going to be dark. And somebody needs to be bigger and die to their will, to their being right. God never used the word. God never used the word to destroy somebody. He used it to heal them.
Amen.
That's right. What a great song. Just want you to lift your hands with me right now. For those of you who've been put under the burden and the strain of someone who is not walking in the love of God, but is walking in law, I want to pray for you right now. It will take a toll on you. In this room tonight, those of you who've really been hurt by people, and I'm talking even Christians. Guys, I don't believe that we can be in our right mind and really be that mean. I just believe that we just get lost. So right now I'm going to ask you, bypass looking at their face like John had to bypass talking about Judas. Well, if Judas hadn't. No, that's not what he did. He says we can bypass that. We can bypass being angry at Peter for denying him and leaving him and deserting him and even being jealous that Jesus said, you I'm going to build my church on. That we're not even jealous. Well, he did that. How come he gets this? No, no, no. Or even Thomas who doubted him after Jesus had suffered. So, if he can do it, he's saying to us from these pages, you can too. Be more in love with what Jesus has done for you than you are angry at what is done to someone else. God, we choose you tonight. I pray right now that healing would just begin to flow in this house, God. Lord, that we're going to have unity. God, we're going to have unity, Lord, that we can be able to walk and just embrace one another, God, not because what we did or we didn't do, but because of what you've done for us. Oh, praise God, I'm in here and he loves me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Don't leave here and say, I ask you to be a whipping post. I'm telling you, if you love, love conquers darkness. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will tell you when you know it's right to stay and when you know it's right to go. But the goal is always reconciliation and not reformation, but transformation. And the only one I can transform is me when I get in His presence. Oh, Lord, right now, let your healing come. Let hope come right now. I'm hearing, you know, you don't know how many years it's been. I don't know how many years it's been, but what I know is that God was still faithful with you and He will give you what He's promised, because when we seek Him, our desires are one with Him and the seed will produce life. Father, we just thank you right now for healing. Let it flow. God, deliver us from criticism. Deliver us from fault finding. Deliver us from grumbling and murmuring. Let us, God, be a place of safety so that when we open the doors, Lord, with confidence, with confidence, God, you can trust in us to say when we get it wrong, because we're always saying what you got right. Thank you for that, Lord, tonight. Peace, God. Peace, God, right now. Let love and peace be restored in homes. Let every remnant of fault-finding be gone tonight because of you, Jesus. Can y'all be in agreement with that? Amen. Amen. Who wants to walk under fault-finding? No. We set each other free. Amen. June's going to make you testify about evangelism.
Oh, she did. Oh, it's great. Y'all going to hear this. This is wonderful. Yes.
We went out so winning.
Yeah. We did. We went out. Oh. Anyways, I just wanted to share a praise report. You guys who don't know, we've been evangelizing on Sundays. And anyways, this last Sunday wasn't as good as the first time. But what made it even better is to see that one of those people that you wouldn't evangelize is here today. And it's not just her, but it's five kids. So, anyways, Anyway, so if you guys want to join us, we're doing it on Sundays at 4 o'clock. Y'all come through the office doors. Just ring the doorbell. We normally... we meet at 4, we kind of talk, and we head out about 4:15. Anyway, so, yeah, just come join us. It's great. I mean, I don't know where she's at. I just saw her coming.
Woo woo! That's wonderful, isn't it? Praise God for Seed of Life. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Sunday, there's going to be a meeting for those who are going on the Oaxaca mission trip.
Yes, in the garden room.
Green room. Right off the kitchen, and then right after service, if the men will just meet over here, those who are going to retreat, they want to have a retreat meeting. And I'm just thinking, you know, do we have room for more men, new men, if they want to go on retreat just now? Do you know, Pete?
Yes.
We do.
Yes.
Okay. Guys, listen, that's your opportunity. That's your invitation. Go. Eden Scabro's is going to come back, and he's going to give a teaching. It's going to be good. Thank you, baby. I forgot the offering. I apologize. It's on the back. There's two little plates. Be sure you take care of it. Bella, is there anything you need to do? Come on.